everyone. Are you missing travel? Are you missing going places or even thinking about going places? Well, have no fear. The Carolina Outdoors is here, and that's what we're going to do on this segment of the Carolina Outdoor Program. We're going to take a visit a little bit further south of the United States. And of course, international travel for a lot of us is non-existent. Maybe it's not even existent during the good times, but especially during a pandemic with country closings and health awareness going on, we're just dreaming about travel. But on this edition, we're going to head down to a neighbor to the south, and it's not Mexico, it's just beyond Belize, which includes the second largest barrier reef in the world, a network of rivers, creeks, lagoons, shallow water flats. It's an outdoor paradise. But what else are you going to find when you get there? We're going to invite travel expert from Jesse Brown's, Wes Lawson, onto the program. He spent a lot of time in this part of the world, in Belize specific. Help me welcome Wes Lawson to the Carolina Outdoors.
Well, Sean Shaquille, Bill, that's Mayan for how are you. Technically, it's how do you see, and that's going to be really important when we're going down to Belize, and I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes. So yeah, Belize, great thing about Belize, Bill, is it's reopened. So international air travel opened back up the 1st of October. Now, land borders are still closed, so if you're thinking of driving through there, you can't. But the airport is open, and that means you can have breakfast in the U.S. and lunch in Belize, if not sooner. It's a short flight. It's easy to get to. Couple thoughts about Belize and what you should know about it. So if you don't know where Belize is or you haven't heard of Belize yet, take a look at the map or think about it back in your mind's eye. Belize is just below the Yucatan Peninsula. Technically, it's still part of it. It's a small country. It's kind of like Delaware or Rhode Island. It's that small. On a flight in the country, you can be anywhere in Belize in 45 minutes. Now, in the car, it might take half a day because of roads and things like that. But Belize used to be part of the British Commonwealth. So they speak English there, which is great. It's had a 2-to-1 dollar exchange ratio for years and years. So it's real stable in that economy. So you don't have to figure out what's the conversion rate. It's still 2-to-1. So the dollar goes pretty far there. And all things considered, it is a stable, relatively safe destination. Those are all good things. Now for us right now at Jesse Brown's, Belize is important because it is a world-class angling destination. The fishing there is among the best in the world, especially for fly fishing. That's part of why there is some excitement in my voice talking about Belize, because folks are going there right now for tarpon, for permit, two of the best fisheries in the world for that, bonefish year-round, grouper, snook, snapper, and lionfish. So if you want to go do a good deed somewhere, go catch some lionfish and don't release them. People who know how to cook them can cook them up really well, but it's an invasive species and it's part of a decimation problem on that second largest barrier reef in the globe. So if you can go down there and catch some lionfish off the reef, man, good for you. We'd love to have you down there doing that. So for us, it's exciting because, hey, travel's coming back and fly fishing. Those are two really great things, especially when you're Jesse Brown's Outdoors.
Well, that's right. We just had customers who were coming in with that on their list as a destination now. So they're traveling to Belize for a fishing trip, but also other things. So I'm going to ask you about that. Here at Jesse Brown's, of course, we were helping them with flies, with terminal tackle, fly rods, reels, all of that, which come suited to travel because all of our fly rods are four-piece rods. They go in the overhead of an airplane, but easily park into a trunk if you're fishing here locally. But anyway, they are not only going fishing, but it's a husband, wife, multiple couple trip. And they're going to do more than just fish. What else is there to do when you're down there? And then I'm going to come back and ask you about tourism in general.
So Belize kind of has something for everybody. It has the only jaguar preserve in the world. And it's not the car. It's the animal. So just outside of Belmopan, which is the capital, it's an inland capital, is this jaguar preserve. You can go see these beautiful jungle cats. So you have that. It has some of the best bird watching in the world for dozens and dozens of species, some of which only exist in that kind of biosphere, including Jabiru storks, which are huge storks, you know, like the kind that bring babies to homes. They make nests up in the trees, and the nest is the size of a pickup truck. It's a huge nest way up in the sky. All kinds of toucans, macaws, parrots, you name it, those birds are there. The fishing, of course, we touched on that. Jungle tours, but also Mayan ruin tours. So, you know, the Mayan Empire was a big deal there, and there are a lot of folks in Belize who are still and will still consider themselves to be not just of Mayan descent, but Mayan. And they speak Quechua, which is one of the Mayan languages. They also, in a lot of cases, speak English too, but they're still living in many of the same ways, means that their ancestors did. And you can go through those jungles and all of a sudden trees open up and there is a 250 foot tall Mayan pyramid or a temple, or you'll find bits and pieces of that culture still around. So you go for that as well because it's accessible. You go for these incredible river tours. So wildlife photography, fishing, history, it's all there, all in this one small spot. It's just incredible what's there. Also, coffee is a big deal there. Some folks from the U.S. have some pretty nice coffee farms there, like the Francis Ford Coppola and others. So ecotourism is a big deal in Belize, and they do it well.
So we are aware of the environment that we are speaking. It's COVID-19 is going on. There have been travel restrictions, not only international, but even domestically, even into states that are just a couple of states away. So we understand that the topic of travel is kind of weird right now, but at Jesse Brown's, we are here to let you know, and via the Carolina Outdoors podcast and radio show, that travel is still alive and it is about to rebound. But when you're talking about traveling to Belize, forget COVID-19. We want to talk a little bit about other concerns. There is the pandemic going on worldwide, but also, what about crime in Central America? What about, I guess you spoke about the stability of the government, so, and it is stable, so that's a good thing. Maybe crime and maybe even weather-related concerns. I guess, are we almost out of hurricane season down in Central America and in the Gulf of the U.S. as well?
All good questions, Bill. Let's work backwards on that. So hurricane season down there goes from June until the end of November. So we're getting toward the tail end, and that can be confusing because now is also one of the best times to be there for fishing. So the reason that the capital of Belize is not Belize City any longer, it is Belmopan. Belmopan's up kind of in their version of the Piedmont Hills, was because after a series of hurricanes flooded out Belize City, the government couldn't function. So it is the coastal area, like the U.S., is low-lying and very flood-prone, and the infrastructure has some struggles with hurricanes and tropical storms. So, you know, when those warnings pop up, pay attention. Belize can get hit pretty hard by those kind of storms, like the Yucatan and like other parts of Central America. Honduras also gets nailed because they're neighbors. So weather can be a factor. Climate can be a factor too. Those are two separate things. We won't get into too much detail there. But I can pretty much tell you, if you go during the rainy season, you're going to get wet. Mm-hmm. And you need to take good bug spray, the good, strong DEET. I would say no exception on that, because we have issues down there, like a lot of the world, including parts of the U.S., with malaria, with dengue fever, Zika, that kind of stuff. So, you know, prolonged use of DEET isn't great, but prolonged use of malaria isn't good either. So let's prevent those things where we can. Now, as far as the travel safety goes, travel is fun, travel is exciting, travel should be embraced. Travel brings inherent risk. That includes going to the grocery store, a weekend away, a staycation, and it certainly includes a travel experience overseas. Belize, like so many of our neighbors, does have some hurdles to address. We can help you plan for those because we are a an affiliate of the U.S. Department of State's Overseas Advisory Council. So just today, I was looking at all the documents and warnings and advisories for Belize. So a couple things to think about. This is going to be true for a lot of the world. Don't travel at night if you can avoid it. Roadways at night tend to be scary, even in the U.S. I mean, my neighborhood doesn't even have lights at night, and it can be a little dicey. But the overall infrastructure, the quality of the roads is iffy at best. Police presence is lacking in some areas. Central America loves a certain kind of police officer. It's called a sleeping policeman. It's an unmarked, oftentimes rope-based speed bump. So you're cruising along the road at a high clip and you don't know you've got to hit a speed bump, and you do, and it can damage the vehicle. It can cause a minor accident. It can cause a serious accident. It's bad enough in the daytime, but it's really scary at night. So if you can avoid that, that's going to be great. One other reason to avoid nighttime travel is just signage. You may not know where you're going. So if you can do that, that's going to be great. So many of the issues in Belize, and this is true of other Latin American countries, take place in two different kind of areas. Parts of big cities, kind of the other side of the tracks, odds are you're not going there anyway. And if you are, roll up your windows and lock the doors and power on through. The other is in these really remote in-between places as you're going to your destination. You're going to your eco lodge. That's why I want you to get on an early morning flight, have lunch when you get down there, and get to that spot so you can make the most of your day. Travel should not be scary. It should be fun. It should be entertaining. If you have those concerns, though, come on by. Give me a call, 704-556-0020, or email me, wes@jessebrowns.com, and let me put together all of that documentation for you, including emergency contact numbers locally in the U.S. and locally overseas, so if things do get kind of weird, you have peace of mind. By and large, Belize is a safe place to travel, solo or in groups. I've done both. And I'll tell you, with a little bit of effort on your part, you'll have a wonderful time. Lots of great pictures, lots of great food, lots of good memories. Don't be afraid to go there.
You are right. We are talking travel here on the Carolina Outdoors. The voice you just heard right there, travel expert from Jesse Brown's, Wes Lawson, offering his services to be make your trip, wherever it be, as soon as it becomes available, whether it be a trip immediately this fall, maybe you want to plan that, very economical to travel just to the south of us in Central America to Belize, or maybe you're thinking about spring or next year or 2 years from now. It's never too early to plan, and that's what we have been doing at Jesse Brown's, is outfitting people for adventure, both local and to places just like Belize. The Belize Travel Industry Association and the Belize Travel Board are both two active groups that are helping make traveling to Belize easier, friendlier, and safer. So again, if you're just joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors as we blast up and down the Eastern Seaboard early on a Saturday morning, we are also broadcasting via podcast. If you like what you hear on the Carolina Outdoors, rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps other people find us. And again, we are in Central America talking about travel to Belize. The association with Jesse Brown's is a wonderful fly fishing destination. And we've had a lot of people heading down there. A lot being a key word. We've sent a lot of people over the years. But just this fall, just in the past few weeks, really, we've had different groups coming in that are heading down there. And again, it's not just a fishing destination. It's all those other things, Wes, that you alluded to. I guess climate-wise, we talked about the hurricanes, but when we're heading down there, is it just going to be sweltering hot? Is it going to be breezy on the coast? If we're there in the fall, not the rainy season as much, but what do we need to prepare for from an apparel point of view?
Yeah, that's a great question. If you're like some of us and you're born with that good, thin southern blood, you're going to be okay for the most part. Belize, though, like low-lying areas of Central America, is going to be warm and it's going to be humid. That's not so different for some of us in the Carolinas, but remember, you may not have as much air conditioning as you're accustomed to. But you're going to be at the, you know, if you're on the coast, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot and humid, but not as bad as you would think. We're not going to be in the desert. It's lush, it's green, it's tropical. You know, you can pretty much assume it's going to be in the 80s and high humidity. But if you're out on the coast, say Ambergris Key, Turniff Flats, Tarpon Key, places like that, there's usually a bit of a breeze. That's a great thing for a lot of reasons. One is it keeps you cool, keeps the foul weather away, and it helps with disease. It helps move those bugs away, those mosquitoes that cause problems. That's a really great thing. I'd still be on anti-malarials and still take some good bug spray. Clothing-wise, lightweight, breathable, quick dry, things that have good sun protection in them. You know, things like Patagonia's Cap Cool, Sims fishing shirts, Columbia sportswear kind of clothing that's lightweight. You still can look really presentable in them. You can go from the flats to the lodge without even changing, but it's going to keep you from getting too hot. It's going to keep you from getting sunburned, which is more likely to happen there. You are in the tropics. And then I would definitely be taking a neck gaiter, which is how we've always packaged those, is it's great for that neck and face protection, especially salt spray and wind. So if we can do that, you're going to be in really good shape. And I would take a bottle of water with me to fill up with bottled water down there. Why would I want that Nalgene-style bottle? Because it's more durable. That's the big reason. Plastic bottles down there, not so great. That's true here too, but you're going to be able to kind of remind yourself to stay hydrated. Other things I would take, a lightweight rain shell, because this is the rainy season. I would probably skip rain pants just because you're going to get hot. And then comfortable footwear that you can be in all day long. And I would probably look at something like a Gore-Tex lined Salomon or Oboz because they're comfortable. I can be in them all day long, almost anywhere, keep my feet dry, keep my feet happy, things like that. And then good carry-on luggage, something from Osprey, Patagonia, North Face that's durable, that can get up and go, and you can pack a whole bunch of stuff and still throw it in the overhead compartment. That's a big deal. Those are also things that we're pretty darn good at here, and we can take all that stuff off the rack, put it in a suitcase, and show you this is how I would pack that bag. So I would say come on over and let us help you get ready for a trip like that. But the climate is going to be approachable, a little bit warmer and a little bit more humid than here. At any given point, I'd say take what you're used to in the Carolinas and go up about 8 degrees and about 15% humidity. But it's a beautiful place. It's worth a little bit of perspiration just to be there.
And again, you mentioned this too earlier. This is a place you can go get a grand slam if you're a fly angler. Bonefish, permit, and tarpon are all there with shots available really year-round. That is available. And speaking of fly fishing, we have fly fishing wading trips that we are sponsoring, not in Belize yet, but in the Carolinas. So let's meet Streamside and go fish. Contact us at Jesse Brown's, whether it's that phone number Wes gave out, 704-556-0020. You can go over to jessebrowns.com as well. Or maybe best of all, stop by Jesse Brown's. We're located in the Sharon Corner Shopping Center in the heart of the South Park Shopping District here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Glad to talk to you about booking an October Carolina wade trip so you can learn a little bit about fly fishing and just fishing a mountain stream here in the Carolinas. But also at Jesse Brown's, worldwide travel is coming back into season. Fall travel is in season as well. And we're celebrating the country of Belize, a small Central American country that just opened back up for travel October 1st. It's air travel. So if you're trying to drive in from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, that's not going to happen. But permission has been granted for you to fly in, whether you're going fly fishing, like we like to talk about, or maybe sightseeing those Mayan ruins, which was an incredible civilization a few thousand years ago, a few hundred years ago, really. So we can talk about that. Or maybe you're going to head out there to that second largest barrier reef in the world. What's the first? The Great Barrier Reef of Australia. Did I get that right, Wes?
You did.
So anyway, we're celebrating the country of Belize and travel right there, as well as recognizing that local outdoor adventure is also in fashion, and we're outfitting for that at Jesse Brown's. And hey, Wes, fly fishing has been one of our strongest sports always, but especially in 2020. And that means some people who have been out of the sport, maybe even out of travel, are now getting back into the sport. They're kind of digging through their closet, getting their old gear out, and maybe preparing for that local or far away adventure.
That's right, Phil. And if you are one of those folks, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. I do want you to think about maybe dropping off some of that stuff for us to take a look at it, make sure that your reel is going to function properly, that it's going to, that the drag is going to engage, that it's going to work, that you can crank line back on, that your line isn't falling apart, or that your knots haven't really come undone, because the last thing you want is to have that exciting day in the water undone in the parking lot. The other is, before you go on this big trip, especially maybe it's your first time in a long time or it's a big destination trip, give us a call and let's talk about getting a casting lesson in, because again, I don't want you to be on the front of that flats boat missing cast. And then when you come back from that saltwater trip, drop off those reels so we can service those, because you don't want those things to salt seas. Anywho, I'm here at Jesse Brown's waiting to help you all out. Give us a call or come on by.
Off he goes, travel expert Wes Lawson from Jesse Brown's. Off I go, Bill Bartee, outfitter from Jesse Brown's. We'll be back with more of the Carolina Outdoors.